Welcome to the DTA Coaching Community Podcast. I am Janice Gray, co-founder and CEO at DTA Associates. This podcast is designed for you to get to know some of our fabulous coaches and for them to share their experience as a care team coach. We currently have coaches all around the country who come together to learn from one another and contribute best practices to the profession. DTA Associates is a healthcare consulting company based in Minneapolis, serving clients across the United States. We focus on patient experience and data warehouse and analytics consulting in clinics, hospitals, and health systems, all enabling them to seek to improve in these specific areas. We believe that a strengths-based approach to coaching providers and staff on how to communicate more effectively with one another, as well as their patients, is an important strategy and can help to move the needle on patient experience outcomes as well as employee engagement. My guest today on the podcast is Jen Schugel. Jen is a senior consultant here at DTA Associates, and while she serves as a lead consultant in our data practice, she has also been trained as a care team coach and coached hundreds of care providers across the country. Other members of our coaching community have submitted some questions in advance of today's podcast. To kick off our conversation, I want to share a little bit more about Jen. A fun fact, in fact. Jen has a golden retriever puppy, and she got him just over a year ago. She's training him to actually become a therapy dog, which I think is awesome. Jen's really looking forward to using this to help to improve the patient experience in hospitals as a volunteer, and she's going to bring her lovely dog, Eddie, along to help with this. Another fun fact about Eddie, his favorite toy is a metal bowl. Jen, welcome to the podcast, and can you please tell us a little bit more about sweet little Eddie?
Thank you. Yeah, so Eddie turned one like 2 weeks ago, and if any of you have puppies, you know that they can eat and chew anything in sight, including our windows, our drywall, our doors. It's been kind of interesting having a puppy for the first time, but thankfully we have found that he loves his metal bowl, so he can't destroy that, and he loves it. He runs around with it in his mouth and has us chase him. And so this was just one of the evenings that was one of the polar vortex here in Minnesota that I was playing with him, and it was kind of a cute picture. He was super excited and happy and had his metal bowl on his foot.
So yes. In your intro, I answered one of the questions that the coaches had prompted, which is how long you had been coaching, and I had to kind of rack my brain, so I was glad that you kind of commented that you've been doing it for 4 years. But can you kind of maybe give a little bit more background of kind of like what were you doing in terms of organizations you worked at prior to coming to DTA, and then kind of what you've been doing with multiple hats that you wear within DTA?
Sure. My background is actually in IT. I didn't start out in the healthcare industry. I started out in consulting, so I was across different industries, but learned computer programming. And so I was building software applications, doing web development. And then I fortunately got involved into the healthcare industry. I worked for a hospital in northern Minnesota and was hired to support their EMR system. And I supported the hardware, the servers, stuff I had never done before in my IT background. But it was a good learning for me. And with that, it was a small organization. And in most organizations, we find that they need a lot of help with analytics and reporting. And so the CIO knew that I had some background in computer programming and reporting specifically, and so I worked one-on-one with her to do a lot of reporting for her needs and just different, like, quality metrics, financial metrics for the health organization I worked for there. And then from there, I went to Allina, and that's where I met Janice and Kevin, her partner, and I was hired there to work on business intelligence. So what that means is building analytic solutions, clinical patient experience, so dashboards, reports to present data in a meaningful way so that clinicians and leaders can be able to track and trend metrics and be able to see where there's areas of opportunity easily and be able to track progress to goal. So I spent 5 years at Allina, and then I joined DTA 4 years ago. Being at DTA, I am still able to work on the analytics and help organizations. Like right now, I'm currently working with an organization on some opioid metrics, so providing them with a physician scorecard so that they can track where they're at with the metrics in regards to where they need to be for the state of Minnesota. And I also have been able to work with organizations on patient experience dashboards and reporting, and then with DTA. Being small, I was fortunate enough to be able to get trained in by Janice and my colleague Nicole to be a coach as well. And I love it. I love being able to be on the side of the clinicians and being, you know, at the bedside versus being behind the scenes. But it's a great mix because I can help provide the data so that, you know, the organizations can see exactly where there might be some needs or opportunity in patient experience, but then I can also help on the coaching side to be able to help improve their communication scores and to be able to watch that and track that in the reporting. It's kind of fun to be able to be on both sides of it.
I was blanking as we were talking where we trained you in. Was it in an emergency department or was it the teaching hospital that I'm thinking of?
It was in the emergency department.
What a crazy place to be kind of thrust into as someone with kind of non-clinical background and obviously coming out of healthcare, but kind of a really interesting place that we apparently chose to push you into. Yes. To teach you. Oh, love it.
Yep.
That's super helpful. And yeah, you're right. We kind of all wear multiple hats here, and you certainly exemplify that in so many ways. Can you just say a little bit about, like, within the coaching, like, what draws you to that, or what part of that do you like? Because clearly it's somewhere that you've kind of, it's taking you a very different path from the background that you came out of and the things maybe your current your previous comfort level before becoming a coach. So what draws you to that, or holds you there?
See where there's areas of opportunity with the data, and then to be able to help make a difference on that data is super exciting. But I also I've always wish that I could have been a doctor or a nurse, but I can't deal with anything that they, needles and blood. I can't deal with any of that. But so it's fun for me to be able to work with them, and I don't have to be a clinician myself. But I guess as of recent, I've been in and out of the hospital and clinic setting with family, and just being able to, first off, it's really hard to turn off, as you all know as coaches, I'm sure, when you're in those settings, it's hard to turn off that observation, your eyes. Like, I have my checklist going, and I like to share it with my family. You know, they did this well, they could do this better, they weren't super consistent with this. But just seeing how important it is from that patient perspective and even the family's perspective, like, I just have a different view of just, you know, the importance of that, and just as a coach now too, of what I, you know, am looking for, and to be able to help them make an impact to their communication with the patient. I love being able to be a part of that.
Awesome.
And it's not just being behind the scenes working through data, which I love and I'm passionate about, but it's fun to be able to be out there and working with the doctors and clinicians.
Awesome. That's great, Jen. Thinking about that, because, again, you know, there's been a lot of different organizations that you've had a chance to work in as a coach and help train other coaches. What's maybe a memorable moment you've had, positive or negative, just like one that really kind of sticks out to you when you think back on that?
The one that stands out the most, I was actually training a coach, a new coach, and I had coached over 100 different roles outside of a physician. So this was my very first position, and I was training a new coach in. I had coached PAs, residents, you know, nurses, many different roles. But this was my first position, and she is a cardiologist. So I was a little nervous, just thought it was my first position. She was a cardiologist. I was training in a new coach. She was a lovely physician, thankfully. She made me feel at ease. Usually it's the other way around, but she made me feel at ease. And we were going through the debrief, and I wasn't even halfway through, and she stopped me, and she asked, how do I get all of my other cardiologists to go through this coaching? Because at that moment, she realized just the power and the impact that her coaching experience had made. And she said, our doctor communication scores are really low. We need to improve them. And so for her to be able to see what she went through could really help improve her doctor communication score. So bringing it back to the data side of it again. And it was just, this was such a great feeling that she valued her coaching experience and wanted others to go through it. So that's probably the most memorable for me.
Awesome. Have you ever made anybody cry during coaching?
Many times. Yes, we, Denise and I have conversations about this. If we make somebody cry, but it's all good. It's always good. They get emotional because they hear so many, you know, the positive things when you start out with our model, and they hear the positive things and the things that they're doing well, and the things that they don't even realize, like they just naturally do, you know, thinking, smiling, you know. And but then when they hear that it makes an impact to the patients, and then that positive reinforcement, they get really emotional sometimes because they don't always hear that positive feedback. So yeah, we've had multiple encounters of people crying.
I think when we first talked about it, it was like, I have to warn you, like, you might make someone cry sometime. And
it happened
not long after that.
Yes.
So, I mean, I can appreciate that, you know, if you hadn't coached a physician before and then it was a cardiologist, which some people are intimidated by anyway, I would think that might have been a difficult experience, but it sounds like it was a really positive one. Are there any other, like, hard examples you have or hard people you've had to coach or difficult situations that you can speak of?
You know, I have not had a difficult person that I've had to coach. I think the hardest part for me is when I sense somebody that I'm coaching is nervous, because I don't want to make somebody feel uncomfortable, and I want them to, you know, we don't want to impact their time with their patients. And so I really try to read that early on to be able to help make them feel comfortable and, you know, do all of those things that we are coaching, you know, making sure that making a social connect and adding in humor and, you know, just reinforcing that this is a positive strength-based experience and that, you know, we're harmless. And so when I'm able to turn that around for them, and in the end they just start so grateful for the experience, and they're like, oh, this is so much fun, and it's fulfilling when you can turn somebody else's experience around that they were fearful of, and in the end, it was a really good experience for them.
Well, and I think on this side of it, and those of you who know Jen know, I think a lot of it is just her perspective, too, and the way she makes people at ease, because I know plenty of people that I would put in the list of difficult, and she coached them and had, like, a great experience, so I think a lot of it is, like, a really positive attitude and just a fun spirit about you that you kind of bring into the coaching that helps to, plus with these intentional things you're talking about as well. Okay, so let's talk about something else that I know you're super passionate about, and you and I compare notes on all the time. And it's something that because we're kind of geeky at DTA, we're all about efficiency, and we're always about making things better. So talk to us a little bit about, you're done coaching, you maybe made the person cry, maybe you didn't, but it was a really good coaching experience. You come back, and you're going to enter the report in. Can you talk to us a little bit about, like, what the best way works for you, because we all have different workflows on this, and then along with that, like, any tricks or shortcuts that you find, because you've coached hundreds of people now, like, how do you find to kind of make that as efficient as possible for yourself?
Sure. So initially I would just how I like to do it is enter in the care practices in Canvas on my, I have it on my phone in the app, and then I would go to the Word document and type everything out. That was just my initial preference, but then I learned that I could use Siri and do dictation right into the Canvas app on my phone, and that worked phenomenally for me when I was coaching and doing like 3-4 a day at a client site. I would go and we would allow for enough time after, you know, coaching. So I would coach somebody, I would do the debrief, and the way I write my reports is like I'm doing the debrief. So I'm writing it as I'm you know, like I would be speaking to them. And so I had just done the debrief that was fresh in my mind, and I would go to a quiet place and I would just start putting in Canvas in my app and do the dictation, just doing like talking as I just did the debrief. So it's fresh in my mind, and it would just, you know, take me 5 minutes to do that, and I would submit the report. I'd go on to coach somebody else, and I'd do the same thing. And at the end of the day, I would go in and I would just fine tune. Like if Siri, you know, there are certain words that she and I did not get along on, so I would just have to tweak it a little bit. But for the most part, it was all there, and so report in a half hour before. But then, I mean, it could have been less than a half hour when I would do the dictation, all said and done. So that worked super well for me. And I know everybody has the option of having it on their phones, but if you do, I would highly recommend looking into doing that. One of the other shortcuts is just leveraging the combo practices that are available to you. And I know initially it's just trying to figure out what combos are even available, and just, you know, making sure they have to be in the right frequency or the same frequency to be able to use it, and that's not always the case. But when you can, especially when you have some of those rock stars out there that you want to coach them on, you know, quite a few things, the combo practices have helped me a lot, just saving time in writing a report.
Awesome. Yeah, and like you said, not every organization has, you know, allowed coaches to put it on their phone.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that whole piece about, like, putting as much in as you can and in between, and you're right, there's been definite times where, especially if we're traveling to be with a client and there's just a certain, you know, scheduling things and whatever, we have coached multiple people in a day, and that efficiency becomes super, super important. If I remember correctly, too, where that was, yes, there were some evenings and really late nights and, like, night shift people we were doing, but the other thing is
mm-hmm.
some of the mixture in there was we were doing leader rounding coaching with, like, charge nurses and nurse leaders when they round. And for those, we really only spend about an hour with them, Rosalie. It's not, you know, like, when we're doing the coaching, you know, we probably had, when Jen's talking about that, we tried to vary it up for ourselves, so, you know, she might have been with a nursing assistant and a transport person, and then maybe had one or two nurse managers or charge nurses spread out from, what, Jen, 8 in the morning till 8 at night?
Yeah, that's
sometimes.
True. Yep.
That's another thing just to think about from efficiency. I mean, long story short, we do that to ourselves at certain points, like Jen said, especially if we're making the most of, you know, certain schedules and travel and deadlines that different clients have, but by and large, for most coaching programs, we recommend that full-time coaches aren't really coaching beyond 2 or possibly sometimes 3 a day. When you're spending, you know, 2-ish hours with the person you're coaching. We had someone who was working with our team. She was basically subcontracting as a coach because she just loved it so much, and we didn't need her full-time. We needed her part of the time. And she would come with us to this one client that we would go to, and her goal was always 11 people between Monday afternoon and Wednesday at noon. So between, you know, Monday afternoon, Monday evening, all day Tuesday, and then early Wednesday morning, she figured out how to coach. Well, we helped her with scheduling, but she would coach about 11 different people during that time just because that was part of her agreement. And then because she had another job that she was going back to, basically by the time the plane landed in Minneapolis, she needed to have sent off the last of her reports to people that she coached because that couldn't really hang over her, you know, when she went back to her other job. And we didn't want that because we had an expectation that the coach's reports are sent within 24 hours. So you can crank through and coach quite a bit in a concentrated period of time when you need to, but that's not necessarily something we always recommend for ongoing coaching programs. You've trained plenty of new coaches over the years and kind of have a mix of what's that piece of advice you might have for a new coach or, you know, someone who, you know, is kind of newer in their coaching career. Any advice you'd have for folks?
Yeah, so when I am training new coaches, it's hard for me just to pick one, so I have three. So that first one is, you know, just reinforcing that whole building of rapport that we've been talking about, just how important that is and making them feel comfortable and encouraging them that it's strength-based, it's confidential, all of that, I think is number one. And then the second thing is always, you know, I know that new coaches, you know, they get this list of care practices, and it's super overwhelming and intimidating at first. You're trying to figure out where it is on your sheet. You're trying to learn the list. You know, you're trying to watch. There's just a lot going on as a new coach. But I always just try and reinforce, like, you know, you're not going to coach all of these things because not everything is applicable for all roles, number one. Number two, it's just really meeting that person where they're at. So you're going to just find the things that, you know, those key themes that emerge for that person's strengths, inconsistencies, and opportunities, and just really knowing where they're at and what, you know, applies to them and not coach them on something that, you know, they should be working on, some simple things like smile, think, introductions versus, like, you know, just something that's a little, like, narrating computer use or something like that. So just, you know, really understanding where they're at. So yeah, just knowing that you don't have to coach everything and that it's just really meeting that person where they're at. And then the other thing is just, you know, the writing and the debrief. So it gets easier over time. And I know, you know, as some of you have been coaching, I'm sure you can agree, it's just initially it's daunting and overwhelming, but as you do more, it gets easier every time.
Well, thanks so much, Jen. I knew it would be awesome to have you share with us, and when people heard that you were the guest coach today, all sorts of people said, oh, I can't wait to hear what Jen has to say. So I think that that same spirit that you bring to putting people at ease, and just the fact that there's definitely people that I would consider difficult that you've coached that you just don't even see them that way, I think the spirit that you bring to that is also something you bring to this. So it was lovely to get you to be able to share that with us. So I appreciate that so much.
Thank you. It was super fun.
Yeah, and I know I'm going to speak for you for a sec, but I mean, certainly if folks have other questions, either they're listening to this recording and they want to know more, or, you know, the coaches that are with us on the call, think of a question later. If people are interested, you can certainly email Jen, or you could contact us through the support@dtaassociates.com. Thanks for being here. Thanks so much for your great questions. Thanks for the great coaching that you do, in the difference that you're making on behalf of patients and family all around the country. Thanks again to Jen for being gracious enough to share from her experience with us today.
Again, this is Janice Gray, and I'd like to thank you for joining us for the DTA Coaching Community Podcast today. I hope you've enjoyed our interview with Jen Schugel, and I'm so thankful she was able to be here and share her experiences with us. Please join us next time when we can hear from another coaching community member. Hey, are you still there? You still listening? If so, lucky you. Do you have any ideas of what you'd like to hear on an upcoming podcast? If so, please send them to us at support@dtaassociates.com, and we will choose a lucky winner to receive their very own DTA gift. You don't want to miss out on that, so be sure to send us your ideas today.